Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 7. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are Middle-Aged and Creeped Out. Are you ready?
Oh my gosh, I'm ready.
For another mini?
We were singing before this. I'm ready for love.
Yeah.
Well, but we're just ready for minis. That's what
we're ready for. Minis, yeah. Let's keep. We know our limits, right?
Anytime I break out in song, we're like, oh God, here we go.
Who knows what's going to happen? Yeah. Mini number 7 for our listeners. We are excited and we got a fun topic to talk about.
We got a Titanic topic.
Ooh. Hint? Is that a hint?
You like what I did there? Yeah.
I like what you did.
Let's not sink it.
Let's not sink this ship.
We've already sank it. Dun, dun, you just started, dun, right, Nate?
Dun, dun. And that's the show.
Hope you guys enjoyed it.
There's a boat. It sank.
Oh, my gosh. The end. So this is like Lewis and Clark, only we're not talking about Lewis and Clark again, although I'm sure people are still trying to figure that one out. I'm going to give you another riddle to figure out, and this is Titanic. Who knew that Titanic had so many rabbit holes, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to have a nice little discussion. I've got all my little frantically written notes over here. So the Titanic, we're going to just cover the basics. Most people know about it. Some people out there listening are not going to understand it or know about it. So I'm going to go over it just slightly, when it happened, what was going on, all that good stuff. So the RMS, Titanic, and RMS, in case you're wondering, is the Royal Mail Ship. That's what the British moniker they put on it. It was a British passenger liner operated by the White Star Line that sank in the North Atlantic Ocean on the 15th of April, 1912. It started going down on the 14th and ended up sinking on the 15th. After striking an iceberg during her maiden voyage from Southampton to New York City, of the estimated 2,224 passengers and crew aboard, more than 1,500 died, making the sinking at the time one of the deadliest of a single ship and the deadliest peacetime sinking of a superliner or cruise ship to date. With much public attention in the aftermath, the disaster has since been the material of many artistic works and a founding material of the disaster film genre. So, I mean, there was that little movie, Titanic, that barely made any money, you know, back when we were younger.
Yeah, it didn't really do well, did it? Just $1 billion or something?
Oh, my gosh. Well, they were equating it to how much it actually cost to make the Titanic and then how much it cost to make that movie and how much that superseded it. In today's standards, you know, it's monumental. I went to see that.
What was that, 97?
I think so. Or 98, something 97, like that, 98, yeah. Somewhere, late 90s. I went to see it on Christmas Day when they released it. And it was a long movie, number one. Mm-hmm. But I held back the tears until they have the scene, spoiler alert, where the mother's with her children and the water's filling up and she's trying to read to them. And I was like, I'm not a monster. I just let it out. You know, and there are people that had like the skunk eyes and everything. And I was like, but it's such a good movie.
1997.
Yeah. 97.
3 hours and 30 minutes.
It's a long one.
PG-13.
That is a long
romance drama.
Yes. Depressing.
I would.
Great movie.
A little tangential, but Kate Winslet, I might have had a bit of a crush on her. I just, she was.
Not Leonardo?
Fantastic. Leonardo was okay. He was all right. He was
quite all right. He's done okay.
He's quite the artist.
Yeah. My daughter is a Leonardo fan. So she's watched Titanic. Probably a dozen times.
I like Leonardo.
And she does like the movie, yeah. But you know, she loves Leonardo. Awesome. And mm-hmm. I saw the movie when at a midnight showing. Mm-hmm. It had been out for a while, and we went to a midnight showing. And I mean, it was a great movie, and I knew the story and all that. But mm-hmm. man, it just really bothered me. I had a hard time falling asleep because, like you said, Sean, those scenes where those people are doomed and the water's rushing in, it's filling up just like, remember the older couple,
mm-hmm.
and they're like by 70s and they're just laying in bed holding each other. And I'm like, those images really got to me. It was really hard.
The band,
really hard for me.
The band played as long as they could. A lot of the things are historically accurate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Some of it, you know,
but they did say that's true.
Yes. They tried to play as long as they could. Yeah.
It was really hard though to get to sleep.
Nearer
they
got
movie.
To thee, you know that
so
was.
I don't
yeah.
like watching it. Again, so, but anyway.
So I'm on these. This is how I felt with Lewis and Clark. I feel we talked about like brick masons and being the, you know, the cornerstone and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. The keystone. I feel like when I'm trying to lay the groundwork for understanding these topics because they get so you know, detailed. I feel like I've got my bricks, I got my mortar, I got my trowel. I'm sitting here, you know, just like I want to put this together as easily as I can because it gets very complicated very quickly. So what happened with the Titanic? Exactly. What did happen? So the traditional story history, if you read it on Wikipedia there, it was, they were trying to be very ambitious. It was the Americans, but they were trying to launch from Britain. It was constructed in Ireland. So that was, you know, the Irish were very proud of putting the ship together. They were trying to compete, with the Europeans to try to get the immigrant. There was a lot of money to be made, with these steam liners. Who owned the White Star line? The major, I will call him a ruthless financier, is J.P. Morgan. So you guys have heard of J.P. Morgan. Mm-hmm. J.P. Morgan, in my eyes, good or bad, you know, he's why we are in a lot of places, you know, as far as financial goes, in my opinion, and not just my opinion, but historical opinions, and also, you know, why we use the light bulbs we do, why we have the kind of electricity, because he was behind a lot of that. He financed, you know, the way that we went as a society. So he is connected directly to the Titanic, right? Mm-hmm. He, in many more ways than that. So the first, we're just going to touch on the fact that, okay, so we'll look at it as an accident. So it left from Southampton, coming to New York City. It was traveling fast. So, you know, were they trying to show off, make sure that
they were trying to break the record,
break records,
cross Atlantic trip.
Yes. So Captain Smith, Captain Smith was the captain. He was the only captain, obviously, that got to captain the Titanic. And he was, they say, you know, he ignored the iceberg warnings that there were, a lot of strange things around this whole story. That's where it's you got to kind of stair step around it. He, it's strange. Some of the things that happened again, was it egos? Was it trying to set records? Are we not worrying about people's lives? I don't know. I can't answer for that for him. 'Cause supposedly he went down with the ship. Some people think he didn't.
Well, look at the amount of, rescue boats. You know, that.
Well, they said to have the proper amount of rescue boats, they didn't like how it looked. There's too many boats.
It wasn't
the, yes, the boat.
It was aesthetic, right?
So they took a bunch of them off to make the ship look. Right. You could see more of the ship and make it look nicer.
Look prettier. Yeah. And plus, they thought, well, nothing's going to happen. This is the ship.
It's unsinkable.
Unsinkable.
For those days, it had the as far as following protocol, it had the minimum amount that it was supposed to have. But it did not have enough to suit all of the passengers. Right. However, they launched them half full, so they could have saved more people.
Right, sure.
And whether they were just panicking or thinking that this isn't really going to go down, and they were under that assumption for
I think a lot of
way
people
too long.
Were under that assumption until it
I do think,
in half.
I think that
they're like, oh, we're fine. It's not going to sink.
Right, and then when that all hell broke loose, literally when the ship broke loose. So here's the thing. So it has a sister ship. I don't know if you're familiar with the sister ship. Some people are. It's called the Olympic. And it sailed. Its maiden voyage was in 1911. So it had already sailed. It had made it safely to New York. But in 1911, it was in an accident. It actually was in an accident with a battleship, I believe. And so the hull, ironically, exactly where the Titanic was injured, is where the Olympic was injured. So the problem with that is that they to fix it was going to cost a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so some people believe that this was the greatest insurance fraud in history that was perpetrated. And J.P. Morgan would have been involved in that. Many people would have been involved in that too, because they would have lost tons of money had they been like, oh, you know, the ship, because it was by all accounts fairly new. So the idea was the Titanic was brand new. It ended up going down 2 weeks after it was ready to go. So as soon as it was ready to go, launched, within 2 weeks, it was sank. You know, there was so much. Everybody knew this Titanic. It was everywhere in the news, all around the world. It was this big, big thing. So everybody was watching. So this would have been very gutsy to do this. But is it impossible? It is absolutely not impossible. So what they're thinking is that, so it had damage. The propeller on the Titanic and the Olympic, they needed to do work on the propeller. So the propeller needed to be replaced. So they had them both in the same place. The propeller should take 2 days, they said. This is according to the research. Should take 2 days to fix. Both of those ships were there for a week. They said that doesn't really make sense why they had to both be there for a week. The other thing is that they almost looked identical, but they had differences in their portholes. And there are pictures that show that what was shown as the Titanic was actually the Olympic. Mm-hmm. And they didn't get a lot of pictures of the actual Titanic. There's the one Titanic picture that they got was when it was just about ready to leave Southampton, or at least what was supposed to be the Titanic. The rest of the ones that showed up in the news is of the Olympic. And it's because a lot of them, they're like, this is when it was in New York. The Titanic never made it to New York. So these can't be real pictures. But they said that they just didn't have enough pictures, so they were just using them because it looked just so much alike. So the problem is that they said, well, that would have been difficult for them to do new portholes and all change that. And they said a lot of engineers that looked at it said, if they had it there for a week, they could have done that. They could have made it look exactly like they needed it to. And nobody would have been paying any attention to the Olympic. So to make sure that they didn't lose money, they could have staged this ship switch what it is. Mm-hmm. So that is the most basic, like that it was insurance fraud. The other thing is that they said there's all kind of things that happened. So they were going fast. They said they're showing that there was a mark that even when the Titanic was taking off, they showed a mark, and they've showed that is from probably a coal fire that was happening within the ship. And they said for whatever reason, when they had to go through and do all the safety checks and they're supposed to take it out, and it was supposed to take two or three days. Instead, they took it out for 2 or 3 hours to check it out to see how it did out in the water. They never checked it with full speed, full capacity. And they said it was known that there was this fire, but they thought, well, we can handle it. It's unsinkable. The other thing is they said it only had one skin. Okay. So, and again, this is where Nate comes in. It was only single hulled. And they said, again, back in those days, that was normal, but that's not much protection. So they said, if you have a fire, the way that you can, number one, they said that worse than icebergs or anything else, you know, unless you're being attacked by another ship, the thing that the people feared the most on the open sea is to have a fire. So they said that should have been addressed. But again, is it egos like, oh, we got to get this thing going. We'll be able to maintain it. It's okay. But they said the way that you do that is you put more coal to try to fight the fire. But the problem is you're going to go faster. So they said that could have been another reason why they had to go fast besides egos and trying to break records, because it was going at a ridiculous rate of speed for that kind of steamliner. Mm-hmm. So that's interesting.
a lot of arrogance went into this.
There is. And like I said, and maybe it's exactly how history portrays it, sure. And that's fine. Yeah. Again, when I'm saying all these things, I don't know. And I'm not sure that anybody's ever going to know. It's going to be like Lewis and Clark. But it's so interesting to think that this may have been perpetrated. What makes it some smoking guns, J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on the ship. There were several people that were rich and affluent. Guggenheim's on there. So many people that were associated with a lot of wealth and prosperity, also determining how our financial system was going and the banking and all that, were on board. And so J.P. Morgan was supposed to be on there. At the last minute, he pulled out. Because he was sick. That's what he told people. And within a couple of days, they said he was spotted around Europe. And he was shopping with one of his girlfriends, a mistress, because he was married. So he really, either he got well real quick. It just looked really fishy. So his bags were actually even at the ship. So people thought he was getting on and
then he backed out
and he didn't. So that looks fishy. Why didn't you get on your own ship? Mm-hmm. The other thing they said was because of that coal fire, there was actually a shortage of work back then for a lot of the workers. There were thousands of coal men that could have been vying for the spots to be on the Titanic, and they would have wanted that job because there was a shortage. They said only one person that had signed up to do it ended up staying. The original crew said that he would stay. The rest of them, like, it's too dangerous, not going to do it. So that's very fishy that all these people that could have been employed didn't. They ended up saying, I'm not going on that ship, you know, so they knew something was wrong.
Yeah, because usually if you're desperate for work, you'll do pretty much, you know, you would do it.
Exactly.
Or want to sign
up. So that's
up.
A tell. That's a big
tell. And for them to back away and go, no, I'm good. I'll wait for the next opportunity.
You got J.P. Morgan backing out. You've got people that have the ability to make money and have a job and be employed. And the prestige of working on the Titanic were like, no, one person out of all those said, I'll do it. there's also several, there were several people. I looked into a lot of different passengers that survived that said they heard an explosion before the impact of the iceberg. So they said they don't believe that it was an iceberg. Now, the iceberg may have played into it. It may have been part of ripping the ship open or being staged. That's the thing that they're saying, that it's almost like they were trying to fake hitting an iceberg. So they wanted this explosion to happen. They say when they pulled out that part of the hull that was damaged, and it was also damaged on the Olympic, that instead of the iceberg would have driven into and caused it to be inward, it's actually pointing outward. So like an explosion happened. So they said a lot of the people's, when they said there was an explosion beforehand, so we're not sure where that came from. They think that was either the coal fire or an intentional explosion that happened, like they were trying to take this ship down. That's a little spooky. The other thing is they said for whatever reason, it's not like they could control the weather, but they said the weather was strange. There was no moon, there were stars. So it was very difficult to see. The visibility was very low. But they said that they were the ship, the Californian, was 25 minutes away from the Titanic. For some reason, it stopped abruptly and called it quits for the night. Cause they said there were too many icebergs around. They didn't want to take the chances. So they were warning the Titanic, and Captain Smith, I guess it's pretty historic that he said, "Leave me alone. I'm busy." Like kind of go to hell, you know, I'm busy, kind of a message back. So he totally ignored them. Some people say that the intention was to fake this sinking, or that the ship was going to be busted and then they could get their insurance money back, but it went awry. So this is like, oops, you know, so they didn't intend to kill all these people. But again, if they didn't intend to kill all these people, they could have acted. But I, you know, if there truly are, you know, bankers and people that are worrying about their money, they're not going to worry about
just got out of
human
hand
life. It got out of hand. So that's part of one of the theories. So here we are and Captain Smith, like, they think that the idea was they're going to have this ship, oh, just, you know, conveniently close. And so they did keep it close. But the weird thing about the Californian is it sat there. It watched the flares coming off the Titanic. Never responded. It didn't respond. It got on the scene after the Carpathian's the one that actually came to the rescue. And that's where the survivors actually ended up getting on that ship. And just after they had loaded the last passengers, that's when the Californian showed up. So that's really weird. And there was all kind of inquiries about why they didn't respond, why they didn't act. Maybe they were miffed at Captain Smith because he ignored him, saying, "Hey, there's iceberg. Yeah, I'm busy. Leave me alone."
okay.
That he ignored him.
No problem. We're going to bed.
So, and there was a guy that was aboard, supposedly. His name is James Fenton, and he was one of the Irish seamen. And his nickname is Paddy the Pig. I thought you'd like that. That sounds like some kind of a mafia thing, but he's Paddy the Pig. He was on the ship. He says explosion did happen. He said absolutely it did, and it was not an iceberg that caused this damage, and there was some kind of a conspiracy. He believed that it was insurance fraud. So he did not say this throughout his life. It was they called it a deathbed confessional, and he said one of the reasons is because he could still hear the women and the children that were screaming as they were drowning, and men, and he couldn't get those the screams out of his head. Some people say that he was a faker and he wasn't even on the ship, and maybe that's true, but there was a
don't they have a log? I thought
they
had a
log.
They
have a log. Well, there was a it depends on where. Some people said, "Oh yeah, he absolutely was on there," and then other people were like, "No, we couldn't find him." My God, the guy whose name was Paddy the Pig, so who knows? But like I said, James Fenton. They could that's what makes this a little bit murky. So like I said, it depends. Some places said, "Oh, he absolutely was," and that was part of the cover up. And the other part, people were like, "Well, he's not on the log." So you never know. But there was a guy who's a skeptic, and he's a Titanic enthusiast. And I was watching a lot of his, the more he looked into it, and he was trying to prove against these theories. He said, you know, honestly, the more you look into it, it does look fishy. There's a lot of questions here. And again, maybe it was rushing, maybe it was egos, maybe it was all about the money, you know, maybe it was all those things.
Above.
You know, icebergs, darn it, you know, here it comes, and we ran into it, oops. It was so much negligence that was on there. It begs those questions, like, why in the world, You know, why did it end up, you know, this propeller that should take in a couple of days? How come the ships were right next to each other for a week, you know, conveniently? Could it have been, they say that, because the other thing somebody raised, you know, like, you'd have to change the lifeboats. You'd have to change the dinnerware. You'd have to do all these things. They said the lifeboats, been a piece of cake. The lifeboats were pretty much identical. Mm-hmm. They would have maybe changed, like, where they were at. The letterheads, they said, would have been a piece of cake to change, especially if you had a week to do it. And the plates never said Titanic or Olympic. All the plateware said White Star Line. So the people, mm-hmm. even people that had ridden on one ship, if you put them on the other ship, they said they wouldn't have, if you would have done just little things, they would have thought they were on the exact same ship.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have known. Now, the other thing that's interesting, and it kind of, like, I'm playing devil's advocate against myself, was the number 400. So all the pieces of the Titanic had 401 and Olympic had 400. So they say in the wreckage that you find a lot of 401. So that it would be the Titanic. So they say, well, that means it's the Titanic down there. Other people say they could have thought about that. It's thought somebody's going to find this wreckage someday. We got to at least make sure that they say 401. Mm-hmm. Did they change them? You know, did they plan a lot of it? Who knows? But no, no 400 has been found down there.
One guy's job was to put 401.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. One job.
Yeah.
One job.
There's only one part of the Titanic. You know, it's in three parts. Mm-hmm. And it's the 17 ton part of the hull. And it matched, what the Titanic would have looked like. But it shows the damage is outward. And it's, to me, it's like, that's really,
meaning like
really
the explosion,
that there was explosion
inside,
so there's,
out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I've also seen, I sort of just glancing at some stuff, there's a conspiracy of it was attacked by a U-boat.
That's another one. Well, because people say that
I never heard that.
They didn't see, because they saw like searchlights. And so that they thought, oh, that's a rescue boat. But no rescue boats were seen. So they think that it's possible. They said the hard thing about that would have been, in that technology, it would have been very hard to hit as fast as the Titanic was going, to hit it just right. But again, that could have been like, hey, make sure this thing gets blown out of the water. And again, did they think it would go down? I don't know. You know, maybe they did, maybe they didn't.
I mean, they kept assuming that it was unsinkable.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's just the way that people push through this, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. They said that a lot of these, the people that had money invested, they were going to make money by hook or by crook, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now it gets a little deeper if I go into some of this cover up, because the people that were on board, you know, the financial, you know, minds, they say there's been no historical evidence shown to this, but it is a little bit fishy. So the Federal Reserve System was started, at least where this happened in 1912. In 1913 is when they were like, let's pass the Federal Reserve, you know, and then that was instituted with Woodrow Wilson. So in the 20s. So that is the system that we operate under now, which that's a whole nother, again, I try not to get too conspiratorial, but it's pretty easy. The Federal Reserve System has nothing to do with the United States. It's located in Europe. How do we have a money system that doesn't even exist here in this country? And by all accounts, it's with I'm going to get contacted from the government tonight, by the way, just so you know. I guarantee they'll be like, shut this podcast down.
Sean's opinions and thoughts.
I know.
Do not I'm getting a little, Nate and Todd's.
Well, right. Exactly.
We're exactly. Just listening. Like, we're just protecting ourselves.
We will come and see you in federal prison. But no, I am raising the question. Like, think about it. You know, we used to be backed by gold. Not backed by gold anymore. 71, Nixon said, oh, we don't need the gold standard anymore. So basically, I mean, it's monopoly money at this point. Mm. So these are not fantastical,
based on
conspiratorial ideas. This is, it's a
trust.
Lot of, we do a lot of trust in our money system and it's paper and it is what it is. But back then, that's what they really wanted. They wanted it to be able to be controlled in the way that it is today. And they're saying J.P. Morgan was all about that, the federal system, the centralized banking system. And so that's why he would have had a great, you know, like, oh, yeah, guys, let's all go. Let's go from England to New York. Let's have a good time. Oh, you know what, dude? Sorry. Tell them I'm sorry, but I'll see you guys later.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they're thinking that they strategically took out these bankers that were against the central banking system and said, no, this isn't going to be ethical. This isn't going to be, you know, based on anything that we've ever, you know, this is an idea that is, it gets very corrupt very quickly, which we can look, all you got to do is look around. The banking system is extremely corrupt on the federal level. So they didn't want to have any part of it. Again, they say, oh, there's no records of these gentlemen being involved in this idea or that they were for or against it. But it's still, it begs the question, like, weren't they? You know, and they just ironically, you know, just, you know, it happened chance that they were on the ship and they all went down, this unsinkable ship. And I have a question for you guys. How many ships have gone down since the Titanic by an iceberg? Like, how many steamliners have gone down because of an iceberg?
Probably none.
I was going to say that, or one.
Yeah. The answer is zero. Yeah. The Titanic is the only ship that went down from an iceberg. So icebergs can be very deadly, sure, but no other ship in history since then. That's 110, almost 110 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, isn't it true that they thought that they're below the iceberg line too?
Mm-hmm.
So they weren't really concerned about them, even though someone said, hey, we've seen them out here, but they're, it's impossible.
I watched a documentary that the guy that's, you know, doing the messaging back and forth with other ships.
Telegrapher.
Yeah. He was asleep at the wheel. Like, he wasn't there, or he didn't get in time where somebody was trying to warn them about the upcoming icebergs.
Mm-hmm.
And because I had no idea about that.
How
I
watched this, right?
About 3 or 4. Yeah.
Well, that's
so why was he not there? Like, you have one job, sit there, you know, communicate.
The guy
that have somebody to back you up if you have to leave or take a break or whatever.
The actor, I'm not speaking for him either, but the actor that played the captain, in the movie Titanic.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
Captain Smith, he said, yeah, he really is. He even said, playing that character, he said, there are still so many unanswered questions about what happened that night. And he didn't go into all these things, but he was on a documentary that covered a lot of these, like, what happened exactly and why? There's so many question marks. And again, maybe it was. Maybe we were just trying to be, you know,
fools.
Yeah. And that's
foolish and arrogant.
So maybe that is true. Maybe that's what happened. But like I said, there is so much stuff here that just, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Now, he went down with the ship though. So see, that's,
they say some people, that's a whole nother conspiracy that he jumped on.
Yeah. Cause I imagine
that they,
and all that,
they protected him and anybody else they wanted to protect.
But saying that he went down, cause obviously if he went down with the ship, then he sounds legit. Like, you know, he wasn't up to anything that's,
which I mean, I imagine in that instance, I mean, they'd probably lock the bridge off so nobody could interrupt them or get in there.
Right.
So who's to say who's in there?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
True. Very true.
There was also this
so much
a little bit deeper is
so unexplained, and we'll probably never know.
In the 1800s, late 1800s, I think it was 1890s. There's a book, and it is written about a steamliner ship named the Titan, not the Titanic, but the Titan. So very close to the Titanic, and it is this story that happened.
Or was it the Titan? Ick.
The Titan, Nick. No, it was the Titan, the ship. This is a made up story, right? So they made up the story, and it was the story is almost exactly how it happened with the Titanic. So they're saying that they were like, "Hey, we could just do this." You know what I mean? Like, this whole thing that happened, we could stage that.
Now that story I've heard on another podcast, but I did not remember the name of Titan or whatever. But it was like predicted, you know, or was it just?
Well, another one. I think I'm on a goofy website giving me.
Dude, I want to hear it all.
These are the crazy conspiracies. It's saying the Titanic was doomed due to the mummy's curse.
It had a mummy on it. That's true. Yeah. That is absolutely.
Well, there
right.
Was mummies and daddies.
Mummies. Yeah. There were mummies.
Mummies.
Yeah.
That's all actually kinds of crazy stuff, though, man.
Yeah.
I didn't even. There is so much to talk about with the Titanic history.
Yeah, here's another one.
Give us another one.
Go for it.
The Catholic workers were scared of the number on the side of the ship. It was 390904. And if you looked at it upside down, it read, sort of, no Pope.
Oh.
So it scared the Catholic workers. They're saying the ship's doomed.
That's really looking into it, trying to find something.
And it says,
I mean, it's fascinating.
It's been debunked. They've talked to Harlan and Wolf, and they signed the Titanic yard number. And
yeah.
They say that, because Belfast
is
where it was, it was, like I said, it was put together and constructed in Ireland. And it was, so the Irish were very proud of that. And then you have a lot of the people, that's where they did the quote-unquote switch, if they did the switch, right, with the propeller work and blah, blah, blah. But they say that there was a lot of rumors among the crew, and even, like, that there was an insurance cover-up and there was fraud, and that they talked about the fire. So they said that this wasn't, like, surprising to them. There were certainly people that said, oh, all that's hogwash and this, you know, it happened how history says it. And, but again, how do you know? Like, again, there's so much time that's happened, so it's hard to go back. It gets very murky the more and more, you know, you get, the more history you get, because it is, it's who knows, but that's, you know, that's part of probably what they were banking on too. So,
Yeah, it's a fascinating piece of history. It's kind of crazy. You think really of all is. The different things it could be.
A lot of those types of historical things that have happened. I mean, you can almost take any thing and come up with a conspiracy of what you think is other than what is known by, you know, general history.
Well, it gets really funny because who we were directly competing against European wise was the Germans. As far as these steamliners. So we were already, and that was before the World War I and II. I'm not going to get too conspiratorial, but I'm going to get a little conspiratorial. There is, we'll have to cover this sometime, but I don't know if you guys know who Albert Pike is. Albert Pike is a famous Mason. He was also the only Confederate soldier that has a statue dedicated to him in Washington, D.C. Okay. He wrote a book. He wrote more than one book, but one of his most famous one it talks about the three world wars that need to happen and how they need to happen. And it's almost like they planned it ahead of time and it happened how they supposedly looked into it. Again, that gets very conspiratorial, but if you look, all I got to do is look at Morals and Dogma. That's in that kind of stuff is in there. It's a little spooky in my opinion. So, but yeah, so you look at all those historical pieces, they kind of scare you a little bit. That's why this is so fascinating. When I was a kid, they found, you know, their wreckage wasn't found for a long, long time. And it was found in 1985. So I was a boy. I was six. And I remember National Geographic's, and they had all kind of documentaries.
Huge
and they
news.
Were covered this. So it was a French and American expedition. September 1st is when they found it. And it is 370 miles southeast off of Newfoundland in North Atlantic. That's where it sits. And it sits in three pieces. And it is, every time you look at it, it looks like a graveyard. And those pictures of like the dolls and the plates and all that stuff, all this other stuff aside, so sad and so stoic. Like it just gets you.
I'm always fascinated with this story and the Titanic. I can watch documentaries and I've watched videos and the pictures and I love looking at what it looked like. But that movie just did me in because you're watching a reenactment of just doom, and it really did upset me. But you know what? I wish they had a real picture of the stairway, the grand staircase, because they said that there's not a real picture. Mm-hmm. They can show what it looked like in drawings or paintings, but they don't have a picture of that. And that would have been so beautiful.
So many people said when they got on it, it was like there was this. She would have been a little girl, but when she was an older lady, they interviewed her, and she said it was just like a floating. Floating paradise or floating hotel or castle or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just was elegant.
Way ahead of its time as far as amenities, because they had a swimming, I think they had a swimming pool.
They did. At a
workout center. They had, a gym, whatever you want to call it. They had that and all kinds of stuff.
I wanted to go over just a couple there. I had a couple stats just for you. And if you had a stateroom in the Titanic.
Oh, did you say stats?
I did. This is all for you. This will be real quick. So the stateroom would cost $4,200 at that time. Today's standards, that would be $102,000 for that trip.
Wow. How much did it cost back then?
For $4,200. And in this day's standards would be $102,000 today. Ooh-hoo-hoo. The third class, which you thought, those are the poor people, right? They were paying $36, which would have been the same as $875 tickets.
Dang.
And they were, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And the whole, it costs $170 million to build the ship. Today, it would have been $7.5 million. And then, of course,
wait, say it again. How much did it cost?
$170 million.
Because you said $7.5 million.
$170 million. Oh, I'm sorry. $7.5 million in that day. I did say it backwards, didn't I? $7.5 million in that day. Today, it would have been $170 million. Wow. I did say that backwards.
Whoa. That's a lot of coin.
Couple other things, just for fruits for thought. Captain Smith was also the captain of the Olympic, which did make it to New York, and he was the captain that would have damaged that ship. That makes you kind of wonder. He's the one that hit the battleship, right?
Yeah.
We talked about the Titanic being the only one that was damaged by an iceberg. They also had lifeboat training that was canceled. Who do you think they canceled the lifeboat training? It's Captain Smith. Why did he do this? Again, so was his butt on the line because of the damage and he wanted to go through this? Maybe. I don't know. They said that this was interesting. I thought 18 crew members that were female, 17 of those got rescued out of the 900 members that were working on that ship. Because they said it was unlucky to have women at sea, but they said it was only 18 and the mummy apparently too, but 18 of those, you know, the women.
Yeah. That's crazy.
There were 18 that were female and 17 of them were rescued.
That's crazy.
So they have, like I said, we could go into all kinds of different stories and all that kind of stuff, but it is, it's just mind boggling. Mm-hmm. All the details there. The other thing about JP Morgan, cause I want to paint him in the darkest light I can, you know, that's what I'm, that's what my intention is for this whole thing.
Sounds like it.
Is he also, I talked about him being the reason that we have the power systems that we have. He very much, Thomas Edison was direct current in the light bulbs that we use today. Tesla, which we should talk about Tesla another time. So I'm just setting the stage for another episode. Tesla was the first one to figure out alternating current. He's the reason we have wireless technology. He would have been like the ideas behind the LED. And I'm not saying he created all these things, but his technology that he figured out, he wanted to go towards free energy. Well, JP Morgan's like, are you kidding me? I want to make money. So they really push towards oil, push towards what's going to be where the money's at, instead of what's going to help people and be free energy. And I'm just being honest with that. That's historically, in my opinion, very accurate. You can argue that up and down, but so JP Morgan, in my opinion, I like history. So I like the villains. I like the heroes, but in my opinion, he was a big time villain.
It sounds like, oh, sorry. Go ahead, Nick.
No, he wanted to make the buck. Mm-hmm. That's all he cared about.
And like I said, we'll get into it with the Tesla story, but it is interesting how we are sitting here and we made it through history in a certain ways. And he's not the only player. I'm not saying he was like the puppet master, but he was one of them.
Yeah.
Tesla got so pushed to the side too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's to be pitied, honestly, but he's also, we should revere him a lot more than what we do, honestly.
So, yeah. So JP and Captain Smith,
they were,
could be some scoundrels
again. Yeah, and their families,
shenanigans.
I'm sure their families would be like, we don't like that Sean guy. But
I'm kidding.
I think it's interesting to look at these things. Now they did.
No, it's got
to
be said,
Captain.
No, I mean, if we're going to be fair, you know,
they did have a lot of.
Who knows?
They investigated into this system. They found that Captain Smith was not negligent in all these things. How that's possible, I don't even know. That doesn't make sense.
That's.
And when they were trying to reunite the passengers, they held them for 24 hours. It wasn't like, oh, here's your families and we're glad you're alive. It was, they say, what exactly happened to those passengers in that 24 hours? Mm-hmm. Don't talk. Don't tell them details. Keep your mouth shut. You know, that's part of those conspiracies.
And I think a lot of it, again, I mean, they're operating under the thought that this is a modern engineered ship that is deemed unsinkable.
And again,
they put safeguards that, like, it was compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. They didn't put lids on the compartments, and that was the falter. Mm-hmm. But by design, they thought that, oh, okay, well, that section would fill up. We'll close the doors, trap the water in there. We're good.
Yeah.
Keep going. But it
didn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, for a minute it did, but until it started spilling over the wall and going into the next compartment.
Then there's no
and
going back.
Yeah,
you're and done. It overtook it.
Yeah. At its best, if it's just negligence and egos and money driven, it's still sad and ridiculous.
When it's all said and done, a ton of lives got lost. And
exactly.
Man. Well, except for whatever reason. You know, whether it's crookedness, greed.
I would encourage you to look into it more and more and do your own investigation, make your own determinations. I don't know. I'm not sure exactly what I think, but I do enjoy the history of it, and it's near and dear to my heart.
There's a lot more to it than just the normal,
this should have hit
an iceberg and it went, cracked in half and went down. No, there's a lot more to it.
This could have this could have been
a lot of people involved of different levels.
This could have been a two or three parter.
No, I was kidding. like the ship itself.
Exactly, right.
Two or three parts.
The Titan.
It is very sad, though. It's very, very sad. Whatever happened,
right.
You know.
God bless their souls, right?
Man. Yeah. Very depressing.
Yeah, it is. But I do. And like I said, we can learn a lot of lessons from it, right? Let's hope, right?
Yeah, well, they said a lot of, you know, safeguards.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. With ships and boats that came from that, you know, history, you learn from it, hopefully.
I've been so excited to talk about this, so thank you guys for letting me spill all my fun knowledge about the Titanic.
Yeah, when Sean said Titanic, I'm like, oh, yeah. I've heard, you know.
You've heard some of the stuff, yeah.
Yeah, not just the straight story that everybody's heard. There's some conspiracy, creepiness. Mm-hmm. And I do want to mention that some of the rescued artifacts are known to be haunted. You know, they're at different museums. And,
we have some in Indianapolis, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they've said that they've seen apparitions from it or, you know, whatever. And they said even the area that it went down, that area of the ocean, is supposed to be haunted. So there's some paranormal to it, mm-hmm. you know, and who knows? That's fascinating in itself, really.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the story, mm-hmm. but the after. Yeah, it's cool. Sad.
It really is.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yeah. No problem.
Hope the listeners enjoyed that. And for what? Mini 7?
Yeah. Oh, that was...
Always have to look at my notes. I'm like, oh.
I know. Yeah. Which one? Yeah. Yeah. We're having so much fun. We don't even know a number on.
Yeah.
It could be good. 107, right?
So if any of you listeners want to chime in, tell us what you think. That'd be great.
Please do.
I'm interested in seeing what everybody else's opinion is.
Yeah.
Or thoughts.
And do not contact Captain Smith or J.P. Morgan's family and tell them I said any of this. So
you can contact Sean Lehman.
I know. I'm going, I'm getting in trouble.
And his cell phone number is 3. No.
The Federal Reserve is, my banking account is going to be like.
You've racked up some enemies real quick.
I know, exactly.
We're going to take that money back.
Baseball's last name. Well,
this is not a faith-based podcast. It's not a conspiratorial, but oh, crap. Here we go.
Oh,
right?
Man. Yeah. Again, that story was led by Sean Lehman.
Exactly. Todd and Nate have never met this man. Ever.
I don't even know where he came from.
Wandered into this podcast studio.
I told you, Nate, not to answer the door.
My bad.
Poof, poof.
All right, guys. Well, we want to thank you again for listening to Mini Number 7, and that's all we got.
Well, don't let your boat sink. I take that as being the rap.
That is the rap. You heard it from Nate.
The rap battle.
All right. Well, that was fun discussing. We will talk to you guys later.
All right. Later.